listen to him preach, but I could listen to him sing, but now he's got to listen to me.
Amen.
Good to be back in the Lord's house. I was going to try to do this last Sunday night, but after we got home at noon, sometime in the afternoon, I decided I'd practice on falling, and that did not turn out too well. But anyway, I'm certainly thankful that I can still move a little bit. You know, we are very fortunate right here. I don't want Brother Isaac to get the big head or anything, but I think we have a wonderful pastor, don't y'all? I know in my own heart and mind that he truly loves the Lord and that he truly loves his word. If I'd had his knowledge and understanding and wisdom when I was his age, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I thank God for him.
Amen.
We have another one sitting back here, Brother Adams. I don't know him all that well. I've just got to know him in the last few years, but he's another one that I truly believe loves the Lord. I know that other people's testimony about him indicates to me that he's been a God-fearing man for many, many years. Full of wisdom, understanding, knowledge. That's great, isn't it?
Amen.
And then there's me. And all I can say about that is, oh well. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I've had a lot of time in the past couple years to sit around and really do nothing. During the day, I sit in my chair. At night, I go to sleep in my chair. Of the morning, I wake up in my chair. That's been about the extent of it. But I'm thankful that during those times, I still have a little bit of capacity to sit down and read in God's Word. And here not too long ago, I was reading here in the book of Acts, and it just came to my mind, there's got to be a message there for everyone. Let us look at Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. You already know the background of what has happened thus far in the book of Acts chapter 1. But there is something really marvelous to me that sticks out in these two verses of Scripture. No doubt the apostles were perplexed. No doubt they were in great wonder, desiring what's next. And then we find in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I don't know about everybody, but I love that, don't you? After all that the Lord had experienced, his father still wanted him to come home. And that he did. I noticed in verse 11 that these angels, these messengers, these two men in white apparel, they gave unto these brethren a message of hope. I noticed that these two men did not say unto these brethren, I don't know why you're standing here gazing into heaven. He's gone. That's all of it. It's over. But that's not what they said. By no means. They gave us a message of great hope in these verses. You see, nothing with Jesus comes to an end.
Amen.
It's eternal. It doesn't make any difference what we may think. With Jesus, it's eternal. I also noticed in here, in verse 11, after asking them why they're gazing into heaven, there's three wonderful words. This same Jesus. You know, that caused me to have to stop and think. And it caused me to have to do a lot of thinking. Who is this Jesus? What is there so important about this man called Jesus? And so I decided that I needed to once again do a little searching in the Word of God. And I began my search in a little place called Nazareth. It's a wonderful place to start. I could have went all the way back to the book of Genesis and began this search. But I chose not to. I'm getting lazier in my older age. But I began this search in this little place called Nazareth, found there in the book or in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, where it began to pick up and to speak concerning this same Jesus. I found there, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee. He was Pete this morning. I'm going to be repeat tonight. Just bear with me. Sent unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I thank God that there was this young woman that knew what chastity was all about, and God found her there in the place where he found her in Nazareth. But then it goes on to say, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. This same Jesus, we find him being spoken of back in the Gospel of Luke, and the angelic host, the messengers of God, bringing a wonderful message unto this young woman, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, the Savior of the world. There's where I began to search. So what did I find out there in Nazareth? I found out that my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ was virgin born. Folks, that makes all the difference in the world. You see, I found that Joseph and Mary had not came together at this time. And the promise of God was that she should conceive of the Holy Spirit of God and not man. Then I looked also there in the Gospel of Luke, and my journeys took me from Nazareth unto a little place called Bethlehem. Another place spoken of in the Scriptures of old. I found there in Luke chapter 2, and as the angels had spoken concerning the Son Jesus, Mary and Joseph having gone up to be taxed, and it was time for her to be delivered. And here's what happened. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Thank God, he's with us. That's what it is. Not only does the name Jesus mean Savior, but the name Emmanuel means God with us. And brethren, he was here. I'm like Brother Isaac. I'm like probably every true preacher that there is in this world. I can't explain someone being able to be all God and all man at the same time, but bless your heart, I believe every bit of it when it comes to Jesus. Now, we've had the promise. We have had the realities. And then I went on to my journeys. I left that place called Bethlehem, and I journeyed by the River Jordan. You know, the book of Gospel of John tells us that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I firmly believe that that man named John was the only man on earth that had the authority to prepare a people for Jesus. You see, John was doing what God sent him to do. He was actively involved in the will and the work of God. And one day John was out there at the Jordan River doing what God had sent him into this world to do. And John looked up and he saw Jesus, this same Jesus that was born there in Bethlehem, this same Jesus that the angel spoke of there in the book of Acts. John looked up and he saw Jesus coming to him. You know what John's reaction was? Behold, brethren, he wanted to get those folks' attention. Amen. He wanted them to look up, to pay attention. I'm going to tell you something of great value for your life. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's that same Jesus. You see, John recognized Jesus as the sacrifice of God. Not only for my sins, not only for a handful of people's sins, but for the sins of the world. And folks, I don't care who you are, where you came from, or where you're gone, if you will repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because of this Jesus. John recognized him. But he didn't say the Son of God. John recognized him as being the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God. We need to realize not only is he the Son, but he's also the sacrifice of God. You and I needed a sacrifice to take our place. And bless your heart, God provided him. He gave us the perfect Lamb of God. Oh yes, this Lamb had been proved and tried in every area, every way, every facet of life, but yet without sin. He can be my sacrifice. He can be the Lamb of God because he's not like us. He didn't know any sin. John recognized him. And I remember also there in Jerusalem, the Lord himself, as he spoke to a man about a natural birth and a spiritual birth. I remember that Jesus himself, in speaking with that man in John chapter 3 and verse 17, there the scripture said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's wonderful, folks.
Amen.
Hey, I may not have many things to rejoice over in this world. In the condition that it is in tonight, I don't rejoice, but I can always rejoice in this Jesus because of what he's already done. You see, Jesus did not have to come to this world to condemn it. It was already condemned. And as Jesus said there in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. People are trying to find all kind of things, all kind of sins that you must do in order not to have eternal life. Well, let me tell you something. Unbelief in Jesus Christ will seal your doom. Because you already stand condemned in unbelief. I'm thankful that the Lord delivered that message, those words.
Amen.
But then I also remember, as I traveled to a place called Calvary. You see, the virgin-born Son of God came into this life sinless. He lived a life sinless. John recognized him as sinless, as being the Lamb of God. Only he could take my place there on Calvary. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, I don't know why this verse is so precious to me, but there it says, and when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. You let that thought sink in for just a moment. There they crucified him. That sounds awful wicked, doesn't it? Well, I want you to know sin is wicked.
Amen.
Sin, God hates. God will not tolerate sin from the world of lost people or from the household of God, he still hates it. But as I read those words, and when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, this same Jesus. But I want to share something with you for just a moment. I want you to know and to understand, no man took the life of Jesus. I see in my heart Jesus struggling up that old place of the skull. Having suffered all that he suffered, yet he went on to the place called Calvary. I see when he got there, they did not force my Lord down on that cross. My Lord laid himself down on that cross. He had already said, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down of myself. And that's exactly what he done there at Calvary. The sacrifice of God, laying himself down on that old cross, knowing that they was fixing to drive those old spikes through his palms and the arches of his feet. Oh, I hear from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a loving, loving person, is it not? But then, I want you to know one other very important fact. No man took his life from him. I want you to know that when Jesus cried out and when he dismissed that spirit from that body, my friend, that was an act of volition. He commanded that spirit to depart from that body. Man didn't take his life. Yes, my sins put him there. But bless your heart, he went there willingly. He suffered, endured all that he did willingly. But then, my journey must continue. I journeyed to a place just outside of Jerusalem, to a sepulcher where never a man or person had ever been laid. And I remember reading there in the Gospel of Matthew, after they had buried Jesus, you know, the Romans, they were so afraid that he was really might be who he say he is, so they went and had the authority to seal that stone in front of that sepulcher. But I remember the ladies coming to that sepulcher early on that morning. You know what? They came sad, but they left rejoicing. You think about it for just a moment. When they came, no doubt their hearts were very heavy because no doubt they were expecting to find the body of Jesus in there. We might say, oh, ye of little faith, but you and I wouldn't have been any different. But listen to me. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know ye seek Jesus, this same Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. I know this is the Christmas season. You might agree or you might disagree. But without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the birth of Christ would have had none effect. And you see, I'm thankful for this journey. It not only has taken me from the birth, but it has carried me through the life, the sacrifice, the death, and now, bless your heart, the resurrection of this same Jesus. That's wonderful. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I might get excited here in a minute. You see, this same Jesus, you don't look for him over there in Jerusalem. You don't look for him over there outside of the little garden. You look for him up yonder. Because you see, that's what these messengers in the book of Acts was directing the hearts of these men toward. Up there. Don't look down here. Look up there. Why? Why look up there? Because this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Brethren, I thank God that Jesus came into this world exactly how, when, and where that the Word of God said he would. I'm so thankful that God was willing to accept his sacrifice for my sins and for yours. Yes, my heart is hurt sometimes when I stop and think what he had to suffer just for me. But bless your heart, I'm thankful he did. But listen to what they said. This same Jesus, which ye have seen go, is going to come again in like manner. You know what that tells me? My journey's not through yet. I happen to think about over in First Thessalonians. We hear it at funerals, there a lot of times and everything. But there are some very blessed words and a great promise found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. You know what that tells me? Those two men in white apparel there on that mount that spoke unto those men not only made a promise, but is telling us he's coming again. And you see, this same Jesus, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The story's not over yet. The angels knew when they spoke to these gentlemen, these brethren there on the mount, this same Jesus is going to come again one day. And you see, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's exciting. I don't know what eternity is all about. My mind can't wrap around some things. But I do know this, that when the Lord makes a promise, and when He says, "For you'll be with Him forever," I believe it. Amen. He has proven Himself faithful. Amen. From His birth to His death to His resurrection. I have no reason to doubt Him as He sits at the right hand of the throne of God up on high right now. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He is coming again. There's a promise. I happen to think of just one other verse, then I'm going to shut up. I happen to think over in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Now, you may agree, you may disagree. That's fine. Just as long as we don't fall out over it, that's fine. You see, in 1 Thessalonians, I see a promise made to every child of God. I don't care what generation, I don't care what country, what nationality one may be. If they've repented of their sin and trusted in Jesus Christ, they got something to look up to. Amen. But I also see a promise made more specific in John 14. You see, Jesus was with His disciples. And He loved His disciples very dearly. And He made a promise to them here in John 14. You see, He starts out by saying, "In My Father's house are many mansions." I believe that with all my heart. They're there. "Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." And you see, that presents a problem for a lot of people. A lot of people say they believe in God but reject Jesus Christ. That's a sad reality of our day, but it's true. But then He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Brethren, I find that a very comforting promise. Yes, all of God's children, I don't care when, where, what century, anytime that one is called up on Jesus, they got something to look forward to, the coming of Jesus. But I believe that as a New Testament church, we have a promise from Jesus Himself. You see, I believe that Jesus has prepared a place that He and His bride may dwell together. I want you to note one thing. You may not find it as important as I do, but there where Jesus said, "I will," I want to ask you a quick question. Is that word "will," is that a verb or is that a noun? What difference does it make, preacher? It makes all the difference in the world to me. You know why? Because if it's a verb, there's a possibility He ain't going to come. That's right. Will always leaves the possibility of something not happening. The verb "will." But if it is a noun, it is an exercising of volition. If you would take the rules of grammar, which they're outdated now, I grant you that. They're outdated. Nobody uses them anymore. If you take those few words, I will come again. If it's a noun, it's going to say, I will to come again. In other words, he invoked his volition and you cannot change it. And I love that. You see, Jesus don't work on possibilities. He works on fact. And when he said, I will, you might ask yourself, why didn't he use the word shall? Shall tells us it can't be changed. Well, because shall and exercising volition is not the same thing. The exercise of one's volition says, I desire, I will something to happen. That's what Jesus is saying. And brethren, I believe that promise. Amen. So I say to you, brethren, these men of Galilee that were privileged to stand there that day, no doubt there was great amazement. You have to forgive me, sometimes I forget what I'm going to say. They were astonished. No doubt they were dumbfounded. They may have thought in their own hearts and minds like Peter did, oh, well, I'm going to go fishing. But let me tell you something. God did not want them to walk away from that place downhearted. He wanted them to leave with joy in their heart. I can say to you, Jesus is that joy. Amen. There is none other besides him. I thank God. Not only did his son come, as the word of God said, but also that the word of God says he's going to come again. That's a day that we can look up to, that we can be praying for. And it's a day that is rapidly approaching. Brother Isaac.
Let's stand together, have our ushers come.